along Cyril's cheek. "Which told me?" Damon closed the cottage door and pressed his forehead against the wood. Most days the pain was a dull ache in the background of his life, a constant and faithful lover. Most days he barely noticed it while he was busy taking care of his family and the Saw Diablo estates and the territory of Demlin. Most days. But not on the anniversary of the day he lost his queen, his lover, his heart. Then the pain roared back, sharp and cutting. It wasn't fair to Cyril, but he couldn't be around her on this day. Couldn't even be around Janelle Saint-Étienne, mostly because he didn't want to explain the tears and the hurting to his little girl. Being invited to Janelle's private place had been special. A pocket of time when they could be nothing more than a man and woman in love. He cherished those memories, just as he cherished the memories of the time they took for themselves each windsoul. He tried not to think about them too much during the rest of the year. He'd made a promise to Cyril to be a husband, and he did his best to keep that promise. But on this day, he wandered the acre of land that belonged to the cottage, or sat in the front room, and let the memories flow, the ones that made him laugh, the ones that made him cry. Later in the evening, he ate the food Marion left for him in the cold box. Then he lay down on the bed and closed his eyes. The dream would come. The one where he was dead and had a hole in his chest where his heart had been. It didn't plague him as often anymore. But it would come tonight. Except it didn't. Instead, he dreamed he was stretched out on the altar in the misty place, comfortable and passive, lulled by the steady beat of his heart. He opened his eyes and rolled onto his back, bumping against someone else on the altar. Except she was propped up on one elbow, watching him out of ancient sapphire eyes.
"Janelle," he whispered.
She tapped a cat claw lightly against his chest.
"Stubborn, snarly male. But I guess that's not surprising, since you always were."
The steady beat of his heart. He looked down. The hole was still there, a gaping wound, but not completely empty anymore. Half a heart now beat in his chest.
"You taking that much back is progress,"
Witch said.
"I'll keep the rest of it safe until you're ready to take it back."
"I want you to have it."
"No, Damon. I had all of it for a lifetime. Eventually, you'll take the rest of your heart back in order to share it again."
She gave him a long, gentle kiss.
"Sleep. I'll watch over you tonight."
He closed his eyes. As he drifted into an easy sleep, he heard her singing. He couldn't make out words or even a melody, but the song drifted through the darkness and wrapped him in peace. He woke up just after dawn, alone. But he could have sworn her scent was on his skin, and he could feel the lingering warmth of her next to him in bed. Chapter 12. Damon jolted awake when his bundle of witch landed on his back.
"Papa, I have something wonderful to show you."
Janelle gave his bare shoulder a smacking kiss. He grunted, raised his head, and got his eyes open enough to look out the window. Then his head dropped back down on the pillow.
"Witch child, nothing is wonderful before the sun comes up, and the sun is still sleeping. Don't you want to sleep for another hour?"
Damon groaned. What reasonable child wanted to get up before the sun?
"Papa."
Reaching out, he groped for the other adult who should have been in the bed.
"Surreal,"
he said on a psychic thread.
"I'm in the bathroom.
I'll be back in a minute.
Are you well?
Needing to pee first thing in the morning doesn't mean I'm ill. And being in the bathroom doesn't mean my moon time has started yet, so back off, Saudi.
Defensive temper sizzled in the psychic link before Surreal broke the connection, a sure sign there was nothing wrong with his ability to read a calendar.
Fine. Wonderful. The sun wasn't up. He was barely awake, and he already had one female snarling at him, and the other prepared to keep jumping on him until he saw whatever wonderful thing she wanted to show him. He turned on the bedside lamp, its candlelight still set to the soft light he preferred for sex, and he tried to force his brain into believing he should be awake at this hour of the morning. All right, witch child. Let me up. Janelle slid off the bed, bouncing with excitement.
Come on, Papa.
She started to yank the sheet off him. He grabbed the sheet before she pulled it below his waist and snarled softly. A sound that would have frightened everyone else and just made his daughter pause.
Get out of here, he said. Let me get dressed.
I can wait for you, she protested. If I leave, you'll take forever.
I'm not wearing anything, so I'm not getting out of bed until you're gone.
Oh, she said with a dismissive wave of her hand. I've seen boy parts before.
He didn't remember moving, but his hand was suddenly locked around her wrist. His temper had turned feral and cold and was rising to the killing edge. And he knew by the way her eyes widened that his eyes were glazed.
Explain, witch child, he crooned.
I'm sorry.
She tried to pull away from him, but his hold, while gentle, was unyielding.
We didn't mean to cause trouble.
Janelle Saitien.
Damon?
Surreal asked on a psychic thread. He shut out his wife and stared at his trembling daughter.
Explain.
Uncle Lucivar said it was all right.
He saw the room through a red veil. With effort, he released Janelle's wrist.
Get out of here. Now.
She ran. The moment she was out of the room, he flung the sheet aside, sprang out of bed, and strode to his own adjoining bedroom to get dressed. He could hear Janelle yelling for her mother, felt the crackle of gray power in response. No doubt Surreal had used craft to pass through the wall and meet Janelle in the corridor. Better that way. Right now, he couldn't get past the rage to deal with the girl in any gentle way. He was dressed and striding for his bedroom's door when Surreal rushed in from her room.
Janelle's practically in hysterics, she said. What in the name of hell is going on?
I don't know yet.
His hand closed on the door's handle.
Where are you going?
He turned his head and looked at her, and watched her freeze because she recognized the difference between dealing with the Warlord Prince of Demlin and the High Lord of Hell. But she swallowed hard and pushed because Surreal wouldn't do anything less.
Damon, where are you going?
He yanked on the handle and ripped the door off its hinges. Letting it fall, he snarled,
I'm going to have a chat with my brother.
All the way to Eben Rhee, Damon worked to keep his temper chained, at least until he had some kind of explanation from Prince Yaslana.
Oh, I've seen boy parts before. Uncle Lucivar said it was all right.
Memories swam too close to the surface. Memories of a place called Briarwood, and men who were called uncles. Men who violated little girls. Memories of Janelle Angeline's body torn from a savage rape. And blood. So much blood. That terrible night had been the first time he'd seen Witch in the Misty Place after he'd fallen too far in the abyss and shattered his mind. He dropped from the black wind to the landing web below Lucivar's aerie.
The air around him turned frigid, and the green leaves of the nearby plants frosted as he climbed the steps to the flagstone courtyard. He walked into his brother's home without knocking, then twisted the chain on his temper a little more when he heard Daemonar and Titian chattering in the kitchen, and heard Lucivar answer some question that had been inserted in the chatter. Maybe it was better this way, with the children here. If Lucivar had been alone... He walked into the kitchen. Titian looked up and gave him a cheerful,
"Hi, Uncle Daemon,"
before she picked up his mood and hunched in her seat. Lucivar gave him one measuring look, then continued cooking breakfast. Daemonar stood up, a young warlord prince, prepared to die defending his father and sister. The boy swallowed hard and said,
"It wasn't Chanel's fault."
"It wasn't anyone's fault," Lucivar said,
with such dismissive certainty, the tone pierced Daemon's cold rage, leaving behind a moment's doubt.
"But something did happen," Daemon said too softly.
Lucivar shrugged, then filled two of the plates on the counter with eggs and bacon, adding slices of toast and a bowl of summer berries. Calling in a tray, he stacked it with the plates, silverware, the butter dish, and a jar of Marion's jam. He took two glasses from a cupboard and filled them with milk.
"Daemonar, take the tray into the dining room. You and your sister have breakfast in there. Titian, can you carry the milk?"
"We're supposed to eat where?"
Daemonar asked as Lucivar handed him the tray.
"Dining room," Lucivar replied. "You know, the place you only see on special occasions. Now go."
"But Papa..."
"Go."
Daemonar glanced at Daemon, fear in his eyes.
"Come on, Titian."
Daemon said nothing, did nothing except assess every move and every sound Lucivar made. When the children were in the other room, he wrapped a black shield around the kitchen, then added an oral shield. Whatever they said to each other would remain private, providing they were both still alive when the discussion was done. Lucivar took two white mugs from the cupboard.
"Coffee?"
"Not yet." He didn't eat with an enemy. Refusing the coffee right now was a warning that while he and Lucivar would always be brothers, they might no longer be friends. Lucivar filled one mug, then set the coffee pot back on the stove.
"I'm surprised you didn't show up sooner. And frankly, bastard, I'm surprised you're this pissed off about it."
"My daughter was exposed to a naked male. You knew and didn't tell me. You're damn right I'm pissed off about it."
"I told her to tell you."
Lucivar sighed.
"I guess she didn't."
"Now you will," he said coldly. "And the first thing you're going to tell me is who displayed himself to a girl her age."
Lucivar took a slow swallow of coffee.
"Me."
It crushed his heart. He suspected that would be the answer, and had hoped he was wrong. Then he considered Daemonar's words and Lucivar's dismissive response. Janelle had been equally dismissive about whatever had happened. Was he wrong?
"Explain."
He could barely force out the word.
"Do you want the short version or all the details?"
"Oh, I want all the details, prick. I do want the details."
"All right."
Lucivar huffed out a breath and told him. Lucivar rested in the small pool that was one of his favorite places in Ebon Rhee, lulled by the twitter of birds, the easy fall of water, and the voices of young girls doing happy girl things. He'd checked the area before setting up a perimeter shield that allowed Titian and Janelle Saitien to have a feeling of independence while never being beyond his awareness. After a quick dip to cool off from the summer heat,
They'd said they wanted to pick wildflowers so that Marion could teach them something. Since he and Daemonar had the pool to themselves, they stripped completely and settled into water he considered sun-warmed to perfection, since it was still first gasp cool. Through half-closed eyes, he watched his son trying to act relaxed and lazy, but the boy was too focused on the sound of the girls' voices to be either. No, Daemonar still acted like a boy at times, but he was well into the adolescent stage, both physically and emotionally. And the aggressive temper of a warlord prince was now added to the possessive, protective side of their caste. Daemonar sighed and ducked under the water. When he surfaced, he sighed again. They giggle a lot, especially when they're together. Why do they giggle like that?
Because they're girls.
That's not much of an answer.
It's the only one I've got, boyo. Young females are still females, and their minds are wondrous strange and confusing.
Daemonar rolled his eyes.
It makes Titian and Janelle sound dumb, like some of the older girls in school. Except Jillian. She wouldn't act dumb.
Quick to defend, Lucivar thought.
Anything I need to know about?
No, sir.
And a little too quick with that answer. Might be nothing, but Lucivar wouldn't dismiss it until he'd had a chat with Jillian and knew it was nothing. Daemonar saw Jillian as an older sister, which meant she was his to protect and defend. So the boy would never admit to an adult that she was doing something dumb, even if he thought she was doing something dumb. Looked like it was time for a reminder talk about the difference between doing something dumb but not dangerous and doing something that put one of them in the position of needing the intervention of an adult, namely, him.
They're going to pick all the flowers, Daemonar said.
Lucivar studied his son.
If you want to do something for your mother, you can help her weed the garden this evening. Then you can have some time alone with her. She'll like that just as much as picked flowers.
Big sigh.
The girls will push in.
I'll keep the girls out of the way.
Yeah?
Daemonar climbed out of the pool, looking happier.
Hey.
Lucivar waited until Daemonar met his eyes.
Do not start teasing them.
I won't.
Lucivar stared at him.
They're having a good time. Let them be.
I'm not going to do anything. Not with Janelle here.
Because she's younger than you and Titian?
Daemonar grinned.
No, because she hits a lot harder than Titian.
His sigh turned into a chuckle.
Go on, then.
Daemonar grabbed his clothes and darted over to the bushes, where he would have privacy dressing. Lucivar pushed away from the edge of the pool and floated on his back, his wings spread. Didn't get much quiet time these days, not since Marion had given birth to their third child, a boy they named Andalvar in honor of the demon prince. A hard birthing, and it was taking Marion longer to recover. Because she needed more rest and her time and strength were being given to the baby, he made sure Daemonar and Titian had a little time alone with her each day. And he made sure she had a little time for herself. Like today when he took the children for an afternoon at the pool, and Jillian was at the Aerie to help out and watch the baby, so that Marion could have a couple of hours to sleep or read in peace. With all the children nearby but occupied, he could have a few minutes of peace himself. The girls' shrieks had him snapping upright, but he stayed in the pool, listening while he sent out psychic probes to search for the problem. They weren't yelling for help, and those shrieks weren't telling him much. The sound could be for anything. Bug, snake, weird formation of bark on a tree. Granted, the girls weren't prone to shrieking, since they'd learned early how their fathers responded to the sound,
but they were young girls of a certain age, so... Daemonar's voice, angry, distressed, close to panic. It didn't matter if he couldn't sense anything wrong. If all three of them were upset, there was a problem. Lucivar surged out of the water, calling in his warblade as he strode toward their voices. He used craft to pass through the bushes in his way, never breaking stride. Nothing should have been able to slip through his perimeter shield. Nothing. But if something had, and the children were under attack, he burst in on them, his temper rising to the killing edge as he scanned the clear, grassy area where Janelle and Titian stood, then probed the bushes behind Daemonar, and found nothing.
"What in the name of hell is going on?" he roared.
Daemonar and Titian began talking so fast they were barely coherent, their words a cacophony of tripping sounds, full of accusations, justifications, denials, and explanations. But it was Janelle's expression, baffled and a bit disappointed, that caught his attention and made him uneasy. A sharp whistle silenced his children. Daemonar clutched his clothes to cover himself. Titian twisted her fingers. Janelle remained focused on... whatever. Then, sounding apologetic, she said,
"It looks like baby Andalvar's stuff."
Daemonar made a strangled noise. Titian glanced at her father, blushed fiercely, and looked away. Janelle cocked her head and continued to ponder.
"What?"
He looked down to figure out what the witchling found so interesting, and swore silently, but with great sincerity. And suddenly all the accusations, justifications, denials, and explanations made sense. After making one more swift probe, to be sure there was no danger, Lucivar vanished his warblade and called in the loin wrap he usually wore as a morning cover-up in the summer. As he secured the wrap, he said,
"Before I decide whose ass gets kicked, let me see if I understand this. Some of the older girls at school have gotten curious about what a boy has tucked in his pants, and they've been teasing Titian, saying she's too young to know about such things."
"They made it sound all mysterious, and I wanted to know," Titian wailed.
"So when you heard Daemonar in the bushes, Janelle tried to sneak up on him and get a look at what the older girls were talking about."
"I tried to be quiet, but Daemonar heard me right away," Janelle said.
"No, he didn't," Lucivar thought. "Otherwise, he would have started yelling before the shrieking started."
But he found it interesting that Janelle was trying to give Daemonar credit for catching her, and even more interesting that she had been able to sneak up on an Irian boy who already had a few years of formal training. Of course, that boy was still naked and nowhere near the bushes where he'd gone to get dressed, which meant he'd decided to sneak up on the girls and see what they were doing, and had been so intent on that, he'd forgotten the reason he was still carrying his clothes. Until Janelle sneaked up on him, and he realized how much trouble he'd be in for being naked in front of his young cousin. Lucivar said,
"So now you've seen the mysterious boy parts that are making the older girls act silly."
"Really?"
Janelle asked, doubtfully.
"Darling, if someone is male and human, this is what he's got in his pants."
"Oh."
He quivered with the effort not to laugh at the keen disappointment held in that single word. Apparently, boy parts weren't mysterious after all. In fact, they weren't even interesting. At least, not for a good many years. Thank the darkness for that.
"Papa,"
Titian said after a long moment of feet-shuffling silence,
"can we go back to picking flowers?"
"Not yet."
Lucivar gave all the children a lazy, arrogant smile.
"First,
We're gonna discuss some new rules.
That's it, Lucivar said, setting his coffee mug on the counter. Damon stood still, saying nothing, trying to find his balance. Janelle Saint-Étienne hadn't seen a strange man intent on doing her harm in any way, and he couldn't fault Lucivar for choosing the warblade over pants when it sounded like the children were in trouble. He would have made the same choice of weapons over modesty. His head throbbed and his stomach churned, no doubt from holding in all that rage that now had no target. He watched Lucivar pick up the coffee pot and refill one mug.
Is there enough in there for another cup?
Lucivar gave him that measuring look, understanding the message. He filled the other mug and handed it to Damon.
I don't know what to say.
Damon sipped the coffee. I know too much, Lucivar. I heard too many nightmares while Janelle and I were married, and I never want my little girl to know the things my queen knew.
I know about those nightmares, too.
Lucivar took two plates out of the cupboard and divided the rest of the food.
Janelle Saint-Étienne didn't say anything about her visit here until this morning?
Oh, she was a bundle of information about the visit, talking about the baby,
and Auntie Marion teaching her and Titian to make wildflower wreaths, and getting to do practice routines with you using the sparring sticks, and playing with the wolf pack who lives on the mountain with you, and shopping in Riata with Titian and Jillian and the three of them stopping at the tavern for the midday meal. She said you had some new rules, but that was thrown in with the rest, and she didn't elaborate. So it sounded like they were boundaries that just applied to her when she was with you in Eben Rhee. Damon took a long swallow of cool coffee.
She didn't say anything about seeing a man's body until she wanted to show me something wonderful and tried to drag me out of bed.
What was it?
Lucivar asked. Damon sighed.
I don't know. The conversation ended once she mentioned boy parts.
Lucivar looked out the kitchen window.
Hell's fire. What time did she jump on you that you got here so early?
Before sunup.
Lucivar huffed out a laugh.
No wonder you arrived here looking like you were skating the border of the Twisted Kingdom.
Prick, I know you better than to think what I was thinking. For that, I'm sorry.
Don't be. If Titian had hit me with that bit of information before I was awake, I would have landed on your doorstep wondering the same thing. The only difference is I would have pinned your ass to the wall before we started talking.
He meant it. All of it. Lucivar picked up one of the plates and held it out.
You want this?
Yes, I do.
Taking his plate and mug to the kitchen table, he sat down. Lucivar tossed him a fork, then joined him.
Tell me about these rules,
Damon said.
I kept it simple.
Lucivar spread jam on his toast.
Look equals tell. Touch equals tell. Permission before action. No exceptions.
Is that supposed to make sense?
The long version of the rules is, if any male tries to show them his stuff, or tries to talk them into showing him their bodies, the first thing they do is shield. The second thing they do is holler for you or me, and we will decide what needs to be done. If anyone tries to touch them or tries to make them touch body parts,
they shield and holler for one of us.
Lucivar nodded.
If they want to spend private time with a friend, male or female, they get our permission first. I won't refuse any reasonable request and will set whatever boundaries I feel are necessary. But permission comes before action.
And the consequences of disobeying your rules?
Lucivar looked him in the eyes.
I'll destroy the enemy, regardless of gender or age. And unless there is permission beforehand, I will regard any person who tries to sneak off with one of my children as an enemy.
Damon sat back. There might be mitigating circumstances.
Not if I find out about it afterward instead of beforehand.
That's a hard line. One he knew Lucivar would hold. Do these rules apply to Daemonar, too?
Yes. And Jillian.
Daemon stiffened.
Has someone been bothering Jillian?
Lucivar shook his head.
No, and I intend to keep it that way.
He paused.
Look, bastard, you may think those rules are harsh, and maybe you want to soften them for Janelle Saint-Tien. But when it comes to my children, when they stay with you, I expect you to hold that line.
He polished off the eggs.
I don't have any trouble with your rules or holding that line for any of the children, including Michael.
And Beiren?
Daemon shook his head. Beiren has his own residence and is apprenticing in his chosen profession, so he's old enough to choose his own company. But it wouldn't hurt to remind the young warlord that being given that much independence didn't mean the family patriarch wasn't aware of all of his activities.
The theater group he belongs to is performing a play in Riada next month. We're looking forward to seeing him.
And Uncle Lucivar will keep an eye on him while Beiren is in Ebon Rhee, Daemon thought, working to hide a smile.
You want more coffee?
Lucivar asked.
I'll make another pot.
Sure. Where is Marion?
Sleeping in.
Something in the tone, in the way Lucivar moved around the kitchen.
Is she all right? Just slow coming back from this birthing. It's taking longer for her to regain her strength and energy. She'll be fine.
But? Daemon asked gently. Lucivar filled the coffee pot and put it on the stove to heat before replying.
Nurian is an excellent healer, and I trust what she says. But I wish Janelle Angeline was still here to tell me Marion will be fine. I'd feel a lot easier if she was still here to tell me that.
Daemon walked into his study and found Cyril waiting for him, comfortably settled on the long leather sofa. She had a book in her lap and a crossbow aimed at his groin.
Is that necessary?
He asked politely.
You tell me.
Her tone was a few steps short of polite. He slipped his hands in his trousers pockets and waited. When Cyril began a discussion by pointing a weapon at a man, it was wise to yield as much as possible.
I upset Janelle.
The crossbow didn't waver, so he considered the other half of his offense.
And I left you to deal with it, without giving you any idea of what you were facing.
Which is something you won't do again. Agreed?
Was there a choice?
Agreed. Cyril vanished the crossbow, then shifted so that he could sit beside her.
Janelle Saint-Tien is very sorry that she forgot to tell you about Uncle Lucivar's new rules, which you will explain to me in detail by the end of the day, she said. A new friend showed up early this morning, and she needed to tell you about him before she totally broke the rules, instead of just bending the rules by waiting for you to wake up before she told you about her new friend, since he was in her room, but you didn't wake up, which is why she woke you, but then she mentioned the boy parts, which Uncle Lucivar had also told her to tell you about, and before she could explain, you cat-puffed, kicked her out of the room, and left to yell at Lucivar.
I what? Cat-puffed? What in the name of hell is that?
I'm guessing it's what a pissed-off feline does.
Well, that makes me sound scary.
No, it makes you sound like a roly ball of fur. Regardless.
Cyril grabbed a fistful of his shirt and pulled him closer.
I'll give you a choice. You can go up there and settle things with your daughter and her new friends. Or you can take the second part of the discussion about why boy parts wiggle.
He felt all the blood drain out of his head.
Why would there be a second part if the two of you already discussed this?
Because, with Janelle Saint-Tien, there is always a second part to a discussion.
That was a frightening truth.
All right, I'll meet these new friends.
One of them is in her room. The other is in the stables.
I take it these new friends have boy parts?
Cyril released his shirt and leaned back.
Trust me, Sadi. Their boy parts are the least of your problems.
Once Damon was on his way to meet his daughter's new friends, Cyril breathed out a shuddery sigh. No sign or scent of blood or wounds, so it wasn't likely that he and Lucivar had done more than yell at each other. If it had been anyone other than Lucivar, even if the man's actions had been innocent or unintentional, Sadi hadn't looked like a man who had shattered the family by maiming or killing his brother. No. Her sense of him when he'd walked into the study was that of a man who knew it would take some work to clean up the emotional mess he'd left behind when he'd thundered out of the hall. She called in her favorite stiletto and studied its edge. She'd been 12 when she was raped, but the man hadn't been strong enough to take more than her virginity. She'd come away from that bed with her birthright green jewels and her power still intact. Janelle Angeline had been 12 when she was raped. No one could have taken away witch's power. She stood too deep in the abyss for anyone to do that. But she had abandoned her body for almost 2 years, traveling roads in the Twisted Kingdom and maybe even the darkness itself that no one else could walk. And what had been done to her in Briarwood had left emotional scars that had haunted her all her life. Damon had married 2 women who had been scarred by rape, and he wasn't without scars himself, not with what she guessed had been done to him as a child and what he'd endured as a pleasure slave. So any hint that his daughter might be at risk of having the same kind of scars was enough to have his temper turn cold and brutal and committed to slaughter. That was the mess Damon had left her with this morning. Trying to find a way to explain to a frightened girl why her darling papa had been so angry about the boy parts. Chanel Satien had been more worried about getting Uncle Lucivar into trouble than whatever punishment she might face for failing to tell her father about the incident at the pool. And she'd been worried that she had somehow hurt her papa's heart, which was true. Cyril vanished the stiletto, grabbed 2 fistfuls of hair, and pulled gently to ease some of the ache around her skull. Old memories were bound to start surfacing now that they were this close to Janelle Satien's birthright ceremony. But old memories weren't the only thing surfacing now, and she didn't know what to think about that.
Janelle Satien's new friend was a half-grown Arcerian cat named Kale, a warlord prince who wore a green birthright jewel. May the darkness have mercy on me, Damon thought as the cat put himself between man and girl. Kale looked at Damon and snarled. Damon looked at Kale and snarled, and let his black power thunder softly through the room, leaving no doubt about who was the dominant male.
No, no, no,
Janelle said, throwing herself on the cat and clamping both arms around his neck.
Do not snarl at Papa. He won't let us play if you snarl at him.
Why are you here? Damon asked on a spear thread.
To be friends with your kitten, Kale replied, and with you. The weavers said it was time.
Mother Night.
There were rules for the wilder kindred to follow when they stayed at the hall. He just couldn't remember any of them. Well, there was the most important one. Do not swat anyone or eat anyone without asking me first, he said.
I could ask the dogs, Kale said,
clearly preferring to communicate with other kindred. No, you'll ask me. He trusted the Shelties for the most part, but the ones who lived at the hall came from the Sheltie school Janelle Angeline and Ladvarian had begun, and that he now co-owned with Ledvarian's descendants. So these dogs were loyal to his family and very protective of his wife and daughter. Usually, he was grateful for that, but with the presence of an Arsirian cat, he could see Morgan and Carrie happily pointing out a human they didn't like and putting the label of dinner on the fool.
"Are you mad at Uncle Lucivar?"
Janelle asked in a small voice. Damon shook his head. "No, we got that sorted out. But I wish you had told me about it when I was more awake to understand what had happened."
"I know."
She hugged Kale's neck hard enough to produce a grunt from the cat. Damon went down on one knee. "Come here, witch child." She released the cat and came to him. Of course, the cat, being a warlord prince, came too. He rested his hands on her shoulders, giving Kale time to accept that he could touch his own daughter. "Uncle Lucivar is going to hold you to his rules, and so am I. Do you understand that?"
"Yes, Papa."
"I've seen too many bad things, Janelle, and I'm afraid of what I would do if someone hurt you."
"That's what Mama said."
"Your mother is a very smart woman." Janelle smiled.
"She said that too."
He kissed her cheek and hugged her, as much to reassure her as to comfort himself. As he held her, he sent out a delicate psychic probe. It wouldn't invade her mind or thoughts, but it would give him a sense of her emotions, of whether she was as easy about seeing a naked man as she seemed to be, and found something he hadn't expected. His daughter was keeping secrets from him. He eased back and looked at her. Nothing haunted those gold eyes, but something was there. Something, he suddenly realized, that had been there on and off for the past few years, and more so in the past year as she got closer to her birthright ceremony. "I guess I should introduce myself to your other friend," he said as he rose gracefully.
"You'll like him."
She gave him an unsure but game smile that made him tremble. He wasn't sure he would like this friend, but unless he hated the male on sight, he'd let things slide, at least for today. But before he met this second friend, he wanted to have a word with his wife. Cyril was sitting on the sofa in his study, so he didn't have to hunt for her.
"Hell's fire," she said, grinning. "If your father could see the look on your face, he'd laugh himself silly."
He sank down beside her, feeling boneless.
"There is an Arsirian cat in the hall again."
"I know. I met him. You need to put strengthening spells on Janelle's bed, and think about getting her a bigger bed if he's intending to be a frequent visitor."
"Since he's in the stables, I'm assuming her other friend has fur and boy parts?"
"He does. He also has a spiral horn, and his name is Moondancer. He can trace his bloodlines back to a warlord prince named Keitien."
Damon heard the wobble in her voice. He turned his head and studied her, seeing enough in her eyes before she looked away. He cupped her face in his hands.
"Talk to me, Cyril. What do you know?"
"About what?"
Shaky. Of course, this whole day must have stirred up memories for her, too.
"Janelle Saint-Yen is keeping secrets. Even if she had a reason for not telling me, she might have told you."
"Let it go, Saadi."
"I can't. Not today."
Cyril pulled away. He released her face but closed one hand around her wrist.
"Cyril?"
he said gently. He could see her struggling to decide what to tell him.
"A special friend," she finally said. "A secret friend. Someone she's known forever, which I take to mean these past few years."
"How could someone have slipped into the hall without our being aware of it?"
"No one could, but she doesn't see this friend here at home. She meets this friend in dreams."
Damon forgot how to breathe.
"Have you asked?"
Cyril shook her head. "She was upset about telling me. She didn't want to break Lucivar's rules,
especially now that she knew how upset it would make you. But she didn't want to tell me because it wasn't time for us to know about this friend. So I told her it was all right to keep the secret for a while longer. She meets this friend in dreams. He didn't know what to think, didn't know what to feel. Damon? Cyril wrapped her hand around his other wrist. Aren't you wondering? He felt dizzy, off balance. About something in particular? I've wondered about too much already today. The wild kindred races withdrew from most human contact decades ago. Even most of the wolves don't talk to us directly. They maintain contact with the two packs who have stayed connected to the family. Now there's an Arcerian cat descended from Kalis visiting here. There is a unicorn descended from Katien. The Shelties who live with us now are named Morgan and Carrie, and we didn't name them. Are a tiger and dragon going to show up in the next few weeks? He rested his forehead against hers. You think this has something to do with Janelle's special friend? I don't know. But what I'm wondering is this. What do the kindred know that we don't?
Chapter 13. The Birthright Ceremony, a rite of passage, one of the most important days in a child's life, and in a father's life. A dozen Aristo families gathered at a sanctuary in a central Demlin province to witness the children who would be gifted with their birthright jewels, and to witness the fathers who would be legally gifted with their children. Because one of those children was the daughter of Prince Damon Saudi and Lady Cyril Saw Diablo, the sanctuary grounds were packed with queens, both district and province, and aristos from every province in Demlin, as well as the whole Saw Diablo family. Cyril stood apart from the rest of the parents, ignoring the nervous glances being cast her way by the queens and other adults. Sometimes, several children went through the birthright ceremony on the same day. Sometimes, only one child stood at the altar and resonated in the darkness, drawing the particular jewel that matched who and what she was. They had decided to let Janelle Setienne participate at the same time as the other children, which meant the second part of the ceremony would also be public. That was the reason everyone was keeping their distance from her. There was one father who was a danger to them all, if anything went wrong today.
And they still brought their children here, she growled.
Did you really think they wouldn't want to watch the spectacle? Lucifer asked as he came up beside her.
If I were them, I would stay far away from this place today.
Is that why we're doing this at a sanctuary near one of the family's estates instead of in Halloway?
This was Saadi's choice. I think...
Because it was Lucivar, she slipped an arm through his and voiced the worry that had gnawed at her ever since Damon announced where the birthright ceremony would take place.
I think he chose this sanctuary and this estate so that he would have some place to run if anything went wrong. There won't be memories of this day at the hall.
Is something going to go wrong?
Lucivar asked, giving her a sharp look. Cyril shook her head.
No. I made my choice the first time I saw Damon's face when he looked at his daughter. I'm just not sure what his choice will be after today.
She tried to smile in response to Lucivar's unspoken question.
After today, when his daughter is irrevocably his, he may not feel the need to stay married.
Is that your way of warning me that you're leaving him?
No, she said softly. I'm not leaving him. Don't do this. Not today. I did want to warn you about something else.
Oh?
Has Titian said anything about the incident this summer when you and the children were at the pool?
She said something to Marion.
It was obvious he wasn't thrilled about what was said, but he was accepting it, and maybe even felt a little relieved.
Do I need to call in my crossbow to get the details? She asked.
I overheard Titian tell Marion that the older girls had been making a fuss about boy stuff, just so the younger girls would think they knew about something interesting, and it was all a big tease.
Oh, dear.
She bit her lower lip and told herself to behave. Then she thought, ah, shit, he deserves this. Janelle has been doing a lot of thinking about the day she saw your boy stuff.
Is she upset?
Lucivar asked, with a hint of alarm.
No, but she did come to a different conclusion than Titian. Janelle Saint-Étienne has decided that, for the most part, boy stuff is not interesting, and it looks funny when it wiggles.
He made a pained sound, but since he was managing to keep a straight face, she went on. However, she also concluded that when someone is special, his stuff becomes special too, like your stuff becomes special when you are around Auntie Marion. Otherwise, she wouldn't have let you help her make the baby. She felt him shake. She wasn't sure if he was about to start laughing hysterically or just become hysterical.
Having come to that conclusion about her darling Uncle Lucivar, he whimpered, she has decided the same must be true about her darling Papa.
He's shyer than you, so she hasn't been able to confirm that, but she's certain it's true because Damon is her papa, and he's wonderful.
Mother Night!
Lucivar swallowed hard.
What did Damon say?
He doesn't know about this yet. She decided that he's been so nervous about the party we're having after the ceremony, it wasn't the time to tell him about her conclusions regarding boy stuff.
Then why in the name of hell did you tell me?
Because one of these days, he's going to be standing at your door looking like he'd gotten kicked in the head, and I thought you should have some idea about why, so you can comfort him.
Why can't you comfort him?
Because, sugar, I tend to agree with her, especially when boy stuff wiggles.
He walked away, weaving a little. Within moments, Marion came up to her, the baby asleep on her shoulder.
I want to know what you said to put that look on his face, Marion said. I think it will come in handy someday.
Oh, don't worry. You have a daughter, too. I'm sure you'll see that look again.
Marion laughed softly as she rubbed the baby's back, but her eyes remained serious.
Are you concerned about today? About Janelle?
A little. I don't care what jewels she wears. Neither does Damon. But I should have sensed something at this point, should have some idea of what jewel Janelle will wear, and I don't.
Based on how quickly she picks up basic and not-so-basic craft, she should be strong enough to need a reservoir for her power.
Damon isn't sensing anything either?
Cyril shook her head.
I wear the gray, Damon wears the black. If her power is so weak she comes away from the ceremony without a jewel, she'll feel like an outsider within her own family, Marion concluded. Especially because Titian wears birthright summer sky and Daemonar wears the green.
Cyril shivered at the thought. Wasn't that how so many things had gone wrong with Janelle Angeline's life? She had been the outsider in her family, with her special friends and abilities no one wanted to understand, until Satan had recognized her as the daughter of his soul. Well, Janelle Saint-Étienne was never going to feel like an outsider, whether she wore a jewel or not.
You look so fierce, Marion said. Where did you go?
Nowhere. Too far.
She tried to smile.
Damon is going through the steps with Janelle. Want to make a bet on who is lecturing who?
Do you remember?
Damon began.
I remember.
Janelle huffed out a breath.
Papa, we've gone over this forever many times.
He went down on one knee to be closer to her.
I know, but...
Papa!
She cat-puffed and jumped back.
Don't put your knee on the ground. You'll get dirty. Stand up.
He obeyed.
She immediately closed in on him and began whacking at his knee to clean off flecks of dirt.
"We have to stay neat and tidy because this is an important day," Janelle said.
"Yes, lady."
She gave him a narrow-eyed look to see if he was making fun of her. Then she got a look in her eyes that was much too old for her young years and scared the shit out of him.
"You're afraid, aren't you?"
she asked. Terrified, actually.
"A little."
She grabbed his hand in both of hers and gave him a sweet smile.
"Don't worry, Papa. Everything will be fine. I already know what jewel I'm supposed to pick. My friend told me."
His stomach lurched. There had been no mention of the special friend over the past few weeks.
"Which child? You can't choose a jewel just because you like its color."
"I know that. I know all this stuff, Papa."
She looked past him.
"I'm supposed to stand with the other children now, and you're supposed to stand with Mama."
She hauled him over to where Cyril stood with Marion, then ran off to join the other children who were going through the ceremony. Marion looked at him, then looked at Cyril and sighed.
"I'll pay you later."
She wandered off.
"Problem?"
Cyril asked. "Apparently it's now your responsibility to keep me neat and tidy," he replied dryly. "And if you're going to place bets about me, do I get a share of the winnings?" She gave him a sharp smile.
"No."
His heart raced, and the need to move was almost unbearable. But he stood still, because he wasn't willing to let anyone know how much effort it was taking to stay in control and appear no more anxious than any other father waiting to be told his fate with regard to his child. Cyril slipped her arm through his. Then she looked at the children and sighed.
"She's at the end of the line."
"Maybe we should have had a private ceremony," he muttered.
"You're the Warlord Prince of Demlin. Even if she had been the only child acquiring a birthright jewel today, it wouldn't have been a private ceremony."
A hard truth. If nothing else, all the Demlin queens would have come to witness the second half of the ceremony.
"We should move up with the families who are participating today," he said.
When she started to withdraw her arm, he pressed his hand over hers, holding her in place.
"There's no reason to be formal, is there?"
She studied his face and shook her head.
"No reason."
Her mood seemed bittersweet, and he suspected he was the cause of whatever bitterness dimmed her pleasure in this special day. She had been his partner, his friend, his lover. They had laughed together and worried together, and, sometimes, fought with each other. He hadn't been the husband she deserved. He had taken care of her body and enjoyed doing it, and he'd made an effort not to deliberately hurt her heart. He cared for her, deeply, but he'd never said the words that matter most to a woman. And yet, she had stayed. And he wanted her to stay, because he wanted to be with her, wanted to share his life with her. Maybe, once this day was behind them, the tension that had been building between them would go away, along with the unspoken questions and doubts. Maybe. Or maybe, like the previous patriarch of the Saw Diablo family, he would find himself surrounded by people he loved, and yet always feel alone. His heart ached with love and pride as he looked at the people who were his family. Sylvia's boys, Bayron and Michael. Manny, who had taken care of him when he'd been a child. Tersa, his mother. Jillian, Marion and the children. Lucivar, and Cyril. Giving his arm a squeeze, Cyril slipped away to talk to Manny. Lucivar shifted to fill the space.
"How did you survive this twice?" Damon asked.
Lucivar shrugged.
"Nothing I could do about it. A child will wear the jewels a child will wear. I figure it's my job to teach them to live up to their own potential instead of trying to match someone else, including me."
"That's not what I meant."
If you don't know the answer to that, old son, then you haven't been paying attention to the woman you've lived with these past 15 years,
Lucivar said quietly, turning enough to make the words private.
She loves you. You know that, don't you?